Investigation of rooting potential in sorghum by Bobby McMichael and Cleve D. Franks. And I will present the paper, and I will ask you again to indulge my difficulties with my voice today. Sorghum is frequently grown under water limit conditions, particularly in our area of the country. A critical objective in sorghum improvement has been to increase the inherent drought tolerance of the crop. Rooting capacity, we think, may be of great importance to engendering this drought tolerance that we would want in our sorghum plants. Water scavenging, and we put that in parentheses, may contribute to the ability of a genotype or a line or a variety to produce higher yields and may even determine crop survival. So in these experiments, we looked at seedling rooting capacity and we determined it in a diverse set of sorghum germplasm under laboratory conditions. And then we took the initial laboratory evaluations and followed that with a field experiment involving row spacing configurations to determine whether seedling root traits were correlated with greater response to an increasing soil volume, and I will explain that in just a second. So if we look at the flow chart of what we did in terms of materials and methods. We started out with 169 adapted and 236 exotic lines of grain sorghum. We screened these for root growth traits in the laboratory under controlled conditions at 30 degrees C. And we looked at the rooting characteristics of these seedlings at 4 days. We then went on, and the rankings here are for both taproot length and then lateral root proliferation or lateral root branching. The rankings go from 1 to 9. And 1 is bad and 9 is good. And I always have to think backwards, just like the sorghum breeders, right? Is that right, Cleve? 1 is bad? I thought one was bad. Nine's bad, okay. These guys get me confused. 9 is bad and 1 is good. All right, so out of those things, we took 40 lines, 20 of the adapted and 20 exotic. 10 of those were from the high rooting characteristics that we observed, and 10 were from the low rooting characteristics of both the adapted and the exotic. We planted those in the field at Big Spring, Texas, which is south of Lubbock, and then at Halfway, Texas, which is between Lubbock and Amarillo, Texas. If we look at the results very quickly of the lab experiment, we'll see here, this is just the way we did our scoring. We grew these seedlings in rag dolls. You can see here the taproot score, the lateral root score, the proliferation, and then the total. And you can see some examples here of the way the plants were scored to get the total score for all the plants for each one of these parameters we measured. If we look at the distribution of these scores across all lines, you can see it's a fairly normal distribution, both for tap and lateral roots proliferation. And then, if you add all that up, then it comes out as the total root length. So you can see that we had a very wide range of responses here. And again, I say the distribution was quite normal. So then we took the high rooting lines and the low rooting lines, separated those out. And we looked again at the tap roots, the lateral roots, and then the total root. And you can see here that the high rooters are over here in this part of the scoring area. And the ones that are low rooting are over here in this part of the scoring area, and so you can see the difference between the two. The field locations, as I said, were in Big Spring, Texas, and Halfway, Texas. The average annual rainfall at both of those locations is pretty close to the same. However, the soil types are quite different. In Big Springs, it's an Amarillo fine sandy loam, and in Halfway, it's a Pullman clay loam, which is a little heavier soil. If you look at the rainfall events, we planted our sorghum in the field late April to early May, which is right along in this area. And you can see the precipitation events at Big Spring, Texas, which in this year, this was 2006, was quite a bit for that that part of the country relative to halfway, which was much more much lower in total precipitation and in precipitation during the growing season. And you'll see some differences about that in just a second. So this is the configuration that we use for looking at this material in the field. You have a check, common check or control plants on either side, as indicated by the red. You have the planted rows in the solid, and then the fallow rows in the dotted lines. So what happens here is that if you plant in this configuration, you take each individual line and you give it the opportunity to explore a larger soil volume, okay? If it has the rooting potential to go out and scavenge that water or get the water in the fallow rows, then you should see the response. If it does not have the potential to do that, then it won't. The reference here is to a paper by Dr. Jerry Quisenberry and myself that we published this same sort of thing using it on cotton, and it worked quite well. This gives you a little idea of what the plants looked like at some of the different locations. You can see here the different row spacings here and so forth like that. We measured yield. This is reported in grams per plot, days to mid-anthesis, plant height, panicle length, exertion, which is the measure of the flag leaf to the base of the panicle, and then leaf and plant death, premature senescence. This is an indication of what they call the stay green trait in sorghum. Our questions were the spacing treatments effective? Was the 80 each greater than the 60, greater than the 40 in this configuration? And was the slope of the response to row spacing correlated with our root ratings in the laboratory? So the results of the field experiments are here. This is at Big Spring and at Halfway, Texas, and you can see that there is a significant difference in yield at both locations, particularly going from the 40 each configuration and then up to the 60 and the 80. There was no difference between the 60 and the 80 each spacing in anything we measured. Obviously there's a difference in the total yield between the two locations. If you look at the leaf and plant death, then it goes the other way. As you go down, then as you increase the row spacing, you get an increase in the stay green or the leaf and plant death rating. And so as you give the plant an increased soil volume, then the leaves stay green longer. All the other morphological traits that we measure, day to mid-anthesis, plant height, panicle length, exertion, there was no significant difference between any of these parameters, between the two locations and even within a location relative to row spacing. So there was no difference in those things. There was, however, a difference in the yield response. We've broken this out between the adapted and the exotic lines, the high rooting lines that we observed in the laboratory versus the low, as you see here. And if you look at the Big Spring location, you see that there was not a significant difference even between the adapted lines and the exotic lines at either location between the high and low rooters. If you remember the rainfall patterns, there was a lot of rainfall in Big Spring during 2006, and so this sort of canceled out any of those types of responses that we might encounter. However, at Halfway, where we did not get a significant rainfall during the growing season, you can see that there is a significant difference between the high and the low root genotypes or lines between both the exotic and the adapted. And then this is just the means here. The leaf and plant death goes the way we expected. The high rooters have a higher leaf and plant death, particularly over here under the exotics. And so we did see those differences. Now, if you put all that together and just look at the slopes of the lines, this is yield response versus leaf and plant death response. And what this regression line is significant. And what this says is that if the entries get greener with increased spacing, which is these areas up in here in the curve, then they yielded more, or the yield response was higher. So the wider the row spacing gave greener plants, and then this was reflected in the yield response. So in conclusion, row spacing was significant, but the 60-inch spacing was not statistically different from the 80. Lines that had the larger root systems at the seedling stage, lower tap, lateral, and total root scores were able to scavenge more water than lines with higher scores in a limited water environment. And I emphasize limited water environment because that's what we encountered at the halfway site. We're collecting additional information at other locations this year in 2007, but what we're doing there is we eliminated the 80-inch spacing, and this is the configuration we're using in 2007, as you'll see that there's a difference there than what we did in 2006. Also, this allows us to use our combine to harvest the plants a little bit better. So with that, I will entertain a question or two if you have a question, or Dr. Franks will answer all the questions. Yeah. Yes, sir.
The rooting was done on the seedlings. Yeah. Is there any correlation between the seedling rooting pattern and maturity or later in the plant's development?
We're analyzing that data right now, so I can't tell you. So I really don't know. Yes, sir.
When you do those seedling ratings, how do you distinguish whether it's seed vigor or it's truly a genetic control of rooting?
How do I distinguish what? I think Cleve asked, are most of those lines that we used pretty much have the same vigor?
But that, some of them that you illustrated had the lower root growth are also seeds that didn't germinate.
Yeah. And that's part of it. Now, I know what we did with cotton, and we haven't had a chance to do it with the sorghum, was we looked at that question in cotton, for example, about the differences in maturity, for example, what we found there was that maturity didn't have anything to do with what we were seeing. And so that's a good question. That's something that we need to really look at a little bit more.
I have another question. I didn't understand, you had yield data, but were you evaluating the remaining leaf or rating leaf greenness at enthesis, or were you doing that at physiological maturity?
What were we doing, Lee?